Thank you, Brother Johnny. It is indeed a pleasure to be here this morning. I have never seen so many young, smiling faces. I hope you're still smiling when I leave. But it is indeed a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. And it is, as Brother Johnny said, it's a humbling experience to teach God's Word. One of the things he left out is I do have a great education, a life filled with wonderful experiences, but I also have something that Johnny didn't mention. I have the anointing of the Holy Spirit in my life to bring you the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest thing that has ever happened in my life. So I just hope that I can say something this morning that will fill a void in your heart and your life. The message that I'm going to bring is a difficult one, and I'm going to oversimplify in some cases to bring out a point later in my message. So let me begin. Let me begin by asking you a couple of simple questions. And first of all, I love those songs. The music is great. I know you spent a lot of time on taking guitar lessons. And boy, that is difficult. But anyway, I really enjoyed that. We really appreciate that time and effort you put into that. But anyway, let me start by asking you a couple of questions. How do you start your day? How do you begin your day when you get up each morning? I don't really want to know because we do some strange things around my house. But more important, how do you invest your time once that day starts? How do you invest your time? Do you invest it in, as a mom, preparing meals, preparing your kids to go to school? Do you invest it as a student, an academic, to study? Do you invest it in your church work? I know Brother Johnny and his wife spend an awful lot of time here. But what I would like for you to remember each day when you start this day is ask yourself this question. Am I investing in something that will give me eternal rewards? Is there an eternal reward out there? You can incorporate prayer, you can incorporate examples, you can exemplify Jesus Christ in all that you do every moment of the day. So just let that thought follow you through the day. The title of my message is, and it's difficult to outline, the anatomy of prayer. And I know that the song that you sang this morning, the word prayer was sprinkled throughout those songs, the words of those songs. So we're going to be looking at the anatomy of prayer. I need to make a note, but I'm not sure that we can cover everything, but we're going to try. So we're... What time do we need to finish up?
40 minutes.
Okay, at
35, 40. Okay.
40 minutes. So we'll try to, if someone would you raise your finger when we get to about 11:45.
Okay.
We'll start.
I raised my finger.
We can start winding down at that point. Will that work?
Yes.
I've heard that young people have a very short attention span. I've also heard that one of the reasons your larger churches have choirs is if the speaker has a member in the choir, it keeps people from throwing things at the speaker. You might be afraid they will hit someone in the choir. So the message will be then the anatomy of prayer. And as we look at that, I'm going to oversimplify just a little to explain to you where we're going. And if you would like, go ahead and put our first slide on. Just read that. We're not going to dwell on it. I want to pre-qualify my message. For I did not speak of my own accord, Jesus Christ. He did not speak of himself, but the Father, the Heavenly Father who sent him. I know that his commands, the Father's commands, leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. The words that we're incorporating into this message, our scripture verses, the model prayer, are words that the Father gave to his Son, Jesus Christ, and said, hey, this is some good stuff. This is heavy duty. I want you to take it, and I want it transferred from me through you to all of mankind. He did that by taking Matthew and Luke, and he said, hey, little job for you. I want you to pen these words. So they penned those words, and they put them in Matthew and Luke, Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11. So, in explaining this message, here's where we're going. We know that Christ lives within our hearts. The Holy Spirit reveals that to us. And I'm probably one of the most spiritual persons you will ever see. I just rely totally on the Holy Spirit to guide and direct my life. And I've never walked off a cliff. The only thing I had to do was go buy a really big bottle of aspirin. When you allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you, you will have some headaches. He will put you in some places, in some situations that become very uncomfortable. So I like to say, just keep a bottle of aspirin over here to kind of relieve the headache a little. But anyway, what we're going to do in just a moment, and as a matter of fact, I think I can hear something coming now. But we're going to invite Jesus Christ to walk through that door and come in. We're going to ask him to look around, to measure this group. Then we're going to find that the agent that testifies, that speaks to us concerning Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, he's going to show up. He's going to say some things to us. He's going to help prepare this congregation to do one simple thing, the theme of this message. The anatomy of prayer, there are two little words in that prayer. Our Father. That prayer was written for a very specific group of people. People that are members of God's kingdom that have been adopted into his family. If you haven't been adopted into the family of God, into his kingdom, the prayer is written for you in the future when you become united with Christ and become a member of God's kingdom. So, the Holy Spirit is going to address that for just a moment. But again, we're going to look at those two words, our Father. Why are we qualified to speak those two words? How did it come about? So, as I mentioned earlier, how do you start your day? Let me give you this example and we'll move right along. The psalmist David had a wonderful way of starting his day. He started it out with a morning prayer. In Psalms chapter 5, verse 3, David had many problems when he was a man devoted to a lots of prayer. A man after God's own heart. He needed a lots of help, spiritual help, strengthening. But here's what David said. My voice will you hear each morning. My voice will you hear in the morning. I will look up and direct my prayer to you. he went on in Psalm 118 and reiterated his dependence on the Heavenly Father even more so. He said this in Psalm 118, verse 24. You've heard this before. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it and be glad. Now, what I see coming from David here, from his heart, is this. First of all, he acknowledged God's existence. When he said, "My voice will you hear," he knew there was a power up there. Something existed beyond him. The second thing that I see in these two verses is this. He acknowledged God's creativity, his creation. When he said, "This day," he acknowledged that something had been made, a day. Now there are seven of those floating around. We lump them into a week. But if David used one day and said, "I acknowledge this day that you created," and he prayed that morning, then certainly you need to pray at least every morning, 7 days a week, to get your day started. The third thing he said was this. He acknowledged his belief that God did exist, that he was the creator, and he reaffirmed his relationship with the Heavenly Father. He strengthened it through that morning prayer. Okay. Let's go into our message. Model prayer. We're going to move through this very quickly, and I'm a person that likes to follow notes. And my eyes are 64 years old as of June 1st. So depending on a lot of things, I might move in or out. You'll get there one day. But anyway, model prayer, first of all, is worthy of study. It's worthy of your study. It's worthy of contemplating the output, of measuring your life against the principles that God has laid out here. It's an avenue of communications through which God will establish his priorities. The statement, "Pray in this manner," or "Pray like this," "Do it this way," is a platform from which prayer can emanate. He lays some basic guidelines, and from these guidelines, your prayer can go out and address every issue of life that you're confronted with, no matter how difficult. And as young people, sometimes we don't fully understand your motivations, your needs, why you do things the way you do. But what we do understand as an older person is that we have a responsibility to set before you a godly example, an example worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ. An example of honesty, of integrity. An example that will carry you day by day through life, moment by moment. Okay, the priorities that God has established here, there are three that I would like to mention among many. In this prayer, he directs our attention to himself first. Secondly, he builds a platform, a building block, that we can use for communicating to him, to the Heavenly Father. And thirdly, he sets an example, or it serves an example, model, an example given by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No better example could be given. If you would, let's go to the next slide, and you'll see some words there. You might not use these words in your everyday language, but you certainly live with each of these words every day. They're never apart from you. And my ears are ringing. I thought I heard a car coming. Strange noise. And I did, really. I think it's probably. As a matter of fact, I can hear someone coming up the stairs. Do you hear that noise? No. maybe my ears are failing too. As a matter of fact, I can feel that presence. Sandy, I believe Jesus Christ is coming. Would you open the door and let him in? Thank you. Jesus Christ, you're welcome to this group. I know you already live within our hearts, but I need you to help me work through this. I feel the presence of God in this group. That is a wonderful feeling. Anatomy. The structure of an organism or body, and I'm going to add a word, when dissected, it reveals the structure and position of its parts. My left arm attached to a body. My right arm attached to a body. My nose attached to an ear. My face. These things make up your body as a whole. Your anatomy. If you want to look inside and see what makes it click, dissect it, open up. Jesus walked through that door just a moment ago to help me out to share some things with you. So he's standing here waiting. When I say anatomy, what does that word, I want you to think. I want to probe your mind a little. I want you to get just a little away from the normal thought process. When I say anatomy, can you think of a word that relates or associates with Christianity or the Christian that word would bring to mind? What about church? Church. What is a church? It's a living organism, a body of believers that Jesus Christ has unified into a group, a body. Now, the reason I needed Christ to come in personally, just put his hand on my shoulder and say, Frank, I'm going to help you through this. I'm speaking to a group of young minds that just reach out, go way over my head. I understand the sciences and physics very well. I understand. I have a good education. I have just a lot of physical things that I've accomplished. But when it comes to spiritual matters, you have to rely on the Holy Spirit to walk you through it and reveal. It's called revelation, progressive revelation. It occurs as you need it. It's progressive. So what I needed Christ to do for me right at this point, anatomy, he came in. He's looking at his body. Scripture tells us there's one body made up of many members who are unified into that body. So Christ looks around. He says, wow, Johnny, this group, you have a wonderful group. He looks at every member, the heart of every member. This, each member makes up the whole, makes up this body, anatomy. You have a physical body, a spiritual body. Just keep that in mind. It goes with you everywhere you go, so you just need to be aware of that. The skeletal anatomy is what keeps you upright. Kinesthetic. The teacher probably won't use that word. You might hear it in college, depending on what you're majoring in. The sensation of body position and movement. How do you know you're sitting in that chair? How do you know when you get up and walk? You do it as an involuntary response, that fulfilling a desire from your mind that wants to do a certain thing. How do you know, though, where you're sitting, how you're sitting. Your legs are touching the chair, your back against the back of the chair. That particular sense is perceived through your nerve endings, your organs, your muscles, joints, and for the Christian, what word would kinesthetic bring to mind? These are difficult analogies. They're hard to put together. Position. Christ came through the door and he mumbled on that. What are you talking about, Frank? Then I come up with another word, kinesthetic. position.
Yes.
I looked at this body, I looked at each member. What is your position? Where do you fit in all of this? Are you sitting? Are you walking? Is this church moving or is it static? Is it dynamic or is it static? I can tell you now, I could answer that question. If God the Father looks down, it is dynamic. I can tell you that it is evangelistic. It is a group that prays. It is a group that does a lot of things to satisfy the heart of Jesus Christ. It's good. Glory to God. Now this is an interesting one. Confusion. They're whirling around, dizziness, things that cause you to lose your sense of balance. Some of the things that can cause you, and Christ is looking around, and he's passing some information to me, mental telepathy. It's just his spirit transfers. Christ looks around and he says, well, it's a very solid group, but I can see some areas that are not quite balanced.